Well, we're looking this morning at a verse that is probably familiar to us all. It's the one that we often hear called the Golden Rule. And you know which one that is, right? You're familiar with the Golden Rule. This is another verse that is generally okay in the world's eyes. The world doesn't mind this verse, but it is another one that is often very misunderstood. And actually, the way that this verse came to be called the Golden Rule was through an unbeliever. Many years ago, there was a king or an emperor. I don't remember which it was. I came across this a couple different places earlier in the week, and then when I went to go back to it to recall those details, I couldn't find it again. But someone a while back, who was some kind of leader, was not a believer, but he really liked the idea of Matthew 7:12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That sounded like pretty good advice. And so he had the words of this verse put up on his wall in letters made of gold. And that is how it came to be known as the Golden Rule. Makes sense, right? It's a golden rule. Now, it has happened to me more than a few times when I've asked someone the question, if you were to die tonight and you find yourself standing before God, and if he would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you answer him? It's happened several times to hear the answer. Well, I would tell him that I've tried to live by the golden rule. Or I try to treat people how I want to be treated, or some variation of that. Is that what this verse is about? And based on what we know from Scripture, how do you think God would respond to that answer? Well, from what we know from Scripture, God could say something like, but my standard is sinless perfection. To perfectly love me above all else, and to perfectly love your neighbor as yourself. You failed that standard. You're guilty. Depart from me. And trying to follow the golden rule is not going to get anyone into heaven. This verse is not the gospel. This verse, following this verse, will not save anyone. And even if it could, no one has done it. No one has ever kept this verse perfectly other than Christ. And so that is not what this verse is about. And there are some in the world who would say, who do say, yeah, that is a nice idea. We like that. Everybody should do that. It would help us all to get along better. But that didn't originate with Jesus. That same idea can be found many other places, different religions, different cultures, apart from Christianity. And Jesus probably just borrowed it from one of them. There's nothing all that special about it. Now, there is a shade of truth to some of that. There are cultures and religions that have had a similar teaching to the Golden Rule, but with a very significant difference. And I'm going to quote a couple of those, we'll call them silver rules, that come from some other religions, other cultures. And as I quote them, you're probably going to notice the difference. And this one is from a Jewish rabbi, Hillel. Someone came to him one time and asked him to summarize the whole law while I stand on one foot. Okay, so meaning, keep it short. How could you summarize the whole law? And this was his response. Do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to yourself. There's a summary of the law. The rest is just commentary. Do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to yourself. The Greek philosopher Socrates taught this. What stirs your anger when done to you by others, that do not do to others. The Chinese teacher Confucius taught it this way. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. Okay? Sound good? Do you notice the difference? Compared to what Jesus said, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. You notice the difference? Now, there are a few of them that maybe we could pick out there, but there is one that's pretty glaring. One significant difference. All of the others that I quoted are stated negatively and passively. So according to those, someone could say, you know, I don't like being bothered, so I'm not going to bother people. I'll mind my business and they can mind theirs. A person could be completely passive in relation to all other people and live a very self-focused life. They could never care anything about another person and still be in line with the teachings of those others, but not with the teaching of Jesus Christ. And all of those others being stated negatively, they all could be mostly about self-preservation. Now, you have to be careful about how you treat other people because it may come back on you. You know, I don't particularly like getting punched in the nose. So I'm not going to go punch that guy because he might come back and wallop me. Well, that's not a bad thing to consider. But compared to what Jesus said, that doesn't go nearly far enough. What Jesus said is stated in the positive and it's active. The way that you want people to treat you, you go and treat them that way. And as far as anyone has been able to find so far, no one before Jesus stated this principle as positive and active like Jesus did. And everywhere else this idea has been found, it's always been in the negative. And that may sound like a pretty minor difference, but the implications are huge. Jesus did not just borrow this idea from some other pretty good people. This originated with Jesus and it is built from a foundation of biblical Christian love. Now, that is absent from those other statements. This is unique to what Jesus said. This is built on love. This originates in love. Love that Jesus showed for those who are his. Love that he commands of those who are his. But it is a love that is unknown by the world. Now this verse is a very well-known verse. But this verse is not greeting card Christianity. This is not just a cute saying to give people the warm fuzzies. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 is in a context that tells us what Jesus means by what he said. And contrary to this just being a nice thought that decent people try to kind of somewhat sort of live by on occasion, Jesus is actually setting a really high bar in this verse for his followers to live by in this world. This is a very high bar, Jesus says. This has to be understood as Jesus meant it. So that we don't just sentimentalize it. It's a nice thought. We must understand it as Jesus meant it. A while ago, I bought something. And the seller of that item gave me the opportunity to be dishonest so that I would come out better on taxes. And he said that someone had given him that opportunity in the past and he appreciated it. So he was going to do that for me. I didn't take him up on it. But would that have been an application of the golden rule? Some might say, yeah. I mean, I appreciated this, so I like it being done to me. I'm going to do it for you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, many in the world would say, yeah, that's a good example. That fits. It's a nice gesture for your fellow man. That's what it's all about. But that doesn't fit the context of what Jesus is talking about in this passage. Hey, last week, we looked at some verses about prayer. Like in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now you remember the context of what he's talking about in those verses. It's not just an open-ended promise. Ask anything, whatever comes to your mind, and God has to give it. It's in a context. And this context is that Jesus has been teaching about how his followers, those who have the God of heaven as their Father, how their lives are to be very different from the world. Very different from including the Pharisees, who are very religious, but still very worldly. Jesus' followers would be very different. And this is such a high standard that Jesus sets in the Sermon on the Mount, that any follower of Christ would have to ask, how? How can we possibly live this way? How in this world, with this opposition, these temptations we have, how can we live so differently from the world? Well, Jesus' answer is, ask, and it will be given to you. His answer is, you must pray. You can't do this on your own. You need God's grace. You need God's wisdom. A verse we didn't get to last week, where James says, he who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we lack wisdom in how to live the life that we are called to live. We need to ask. We need God's help. And then, verse 12, this is the summary of everything that Jesus has taught regarding relationships with other people for his followers. This is the summary. This is how you do it. Now, some of these things that we've looked at are going to be hard to know how to do, when to do, what to do. Like that section at the beginning of chapter 7 about do not judge. And we looked at that passage and it says clearly there, do not judge so that you will not be judged. But then as you go on in those verses, we find, well, we are to judge. And we aren't to try to pick a speck out of our brother's eye while we have a log in our eye. And yet we are to help get the speck out of our brother's eye. Relationships can be confusing. So how are we supposed to know what to do? Well, Jesus summarizes in verse 12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, this is assuming in the context that you are one of those who is in that blessed position from back in the Beatitudes, so that you are one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. If you are in that position where you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you crave holiness, you want to do what's right, from that position, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. This is a principle to live by for one who wants to be holy. You want to be holy, but you still sin. You know you sin. You don't want to. You know you get specks in your eye. So how do you want your brothers and sisters in Christ to treat you about your sin? Well, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you want help, right? You don't want to just be left to go on sinning. You want help to grow in holiness and help to overcome the sin that remains in you. You don't want to be pushed into sin. You want help. But you'd like that help to be gracious, wouldn't you? You'd like it to be non-hypocritical, non-judgmental. But if that's what you would like others to do for you when you sin, well, that's how we should help people that we see with specks in their eye. This is Jesus' summary of how we do the things that Jesus has been talking about. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Now notice at the end of that verse, for this is the law and the prophets. Now jump back with that in mind to chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And after that, he, starting in verse 20, he's correcting misunderstandings and misapplications of the law. Things that those likes of Pharisees would go to the law and say, see, here's what it says, and they would misinterpret it to squeeze it into their theology. But Jesus corrects that and says, that's wrong. This is God's intended meaning of the law. And chapter 7, verse 12, sums it all up. This is what it really comes down to. And all these things he has said about the law as it relates to relationships with people, this is what God meant in the law. This is his standard. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. It's a pretty simple concept, isn't it? Treat people the way you want them to treat you. That's simple. Hard to do, though, right? Easy to understand, hard to do. That's why we need to go back to the previous verses, Matthew 7, and pray about this. We need to pray about the golden rule. This isn't just a cute saying to put in a greeting card. This is a high standard that Jesus gives us. We need to pray about it. And Jesus actually, he said the same thing in other places. Matthew chapter 22, there's some Pharisees who are testing Jesus. One of them asks him about the greatest commandment in the law. And Jesus' answer is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. The same thing that he's talking about, Matthew 7, 12, the law and the prophets. Everything that God had said up to that point about how we are to live in relation with other people, it's all summarized in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the standard Jesus calls his followers to, for the way that we are to be different from the world. And it can be summed up this way. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. That summarizes the law and the prophets. Now this is different from those negative, passive quotes from the world. Because Jesus' standard actually requires us to do something. It requires us to think about what we want, what we would like to be done for us, to think about how you want people to treat you, how you want to be cared for, how you want to be encouraged, how you want to be helped. Then go do that for your neighbor. And we are to do that even though we don't know if we will get those good things done back to us. Because that's not our motivation. Love is. So this is what I would like. Whether or not this is what I get, I know this is what I would like. So because I love you, this is what I'm going to do for you. That's our motive. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's our motive. And really, what Jesus teaches us here in the Golden Rule pretty much answers all of our questions about relationships we have. What do we do? How do we do it? If understood in the context of a follower of Christ who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, in the context of one who has God of heaven as their Father, the golden rule helps us in so many ways. Notice Jesus says in that verse, in everything, in every relationship, no matter the circumstance, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Now, some translations leave that part out of in everything. I'm not sure why. It's there in the Greek. Seems to be significant. In everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Every dealing you have with another person. However you would want to be dealt with if the situation was reversed. Whatever it is, you deal with that person in that way. In business dealings, for example. If you are the buyer or the seller, you want people to be fair and honest with you, right? So be fair and honest with them. In the use of spiritual gifts, you appreciate it when other believers use their spiritual gifts to serve and you benefit from it. That's a good thing. So you use your spiritual gifts to serve so others can benefit from your service, even if they don't serve you in return. That's not the motive. Love is. When there are disagreements and conflict, probably the time that the most questions are asked, how should I respond? What should I do in this situation? Well, just ask yourself, how do you want people to treat you when they disagree with you or you are in conflict with them? How do you like to be treated? You like to be treated graciously, don't you? Patiently. You want them to assume the best about you and try to understand where you're coming from without jumping to conclusions. If that's what you want from others, then you treat the person you disagree with graciously and patiently. Assume the best about them till you have all the facts and don't try to jump to conclusions. That's how we love our neighbor as ourselves. And some of those specific examples that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 5, for example, verse 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now, back when we studied that passage, we saw that the Pharisees, if they were in a situation of conflict with someone, they would take that letter of the law, like the command to not murder, and they would say, well, as long as I have not literally, physically killed that person, I've kept that law. Though it really doesn't matter what else I do to them, as long as I don't kill them. But according to what Jesus says, God's standards aren't just things like the physical act of killing someone, being wrong. What is his standard? It's love. So what does the principle of love say about what to do with that person who you are in conflict with? How should you treat them if you are going to love them as you love yourself? How should you treat them if you are going to treat them the way that you would want to be treated? Well, if that's the standard, we shouldn't even be angry with them. I don't like people being angry with me. I don't like being called names. I don't like being insulted. So I shouldn't do that either. I should be gracious. Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now we learned when we were looking at that passage The Pharisees actually took that positive command, you shall love your neighbor, to mean that, well, if you're supposed to love your neighbor, you shouldn't love those who aren't your neighbor. My enemies obviously aren't my neighbor, so according to God's word, I should hate them. And that's the way they twisted that passage. And yet God's law says things like, in Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. Now, looking at that as a Pharisee, I could say, I don't think I even know anyone who owns an ox. And I don't know if I've ever actually seen a donkey carrying a load. I've seen some donkeys pulling some carts and things like that, rarely. I don't know if I've ever even seen one carry a load, so I think I'm fine on this one. But, you know, here's this person who hates me. They are stranded in the rain with a flat tire on the side of the road. The Bible doesn't say anything about flat tires. So I'm fine just going on by and let them get soaked. It serves them right. Is that consistent with God's law, with God, what God wants of his followers? Is that consistent with what Jesus says, summarizes the law and the prophets? If that was you on the side of the road in the rain with a flat tire, what would you want? What does the standard of in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you? What does that say you should do in that situation? This person hates me. But what would you want them to do? If that standard tells us, you probably better turn around and go back and offer your help. In this sermon that Jesus preached that day on that hillside sets standards for his followers that are so high that we need to pray and keep on praying for God to help us to not live like the world, but to live like a follower of Christ. This standard, Matthew 7, verse 12, of treating people the same way you want them to treat you is a very high standard. This is not just a cute saying. It's a high standard. Is something we should be praying about continually. We need God's help to do this. But you know, that's not even the highest standard that we are given as followers of Christ. And that's a high standard to treat people the same way you want them to treat you, but we have an even higher standard than that. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is a high standard. If God so loved us to send his own Son to receive his wrath in our place, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, if we are thinking of the golden rule, I mentioned some silver rules, that must be the platinum rule. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is the standard we are to live by. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are recipients of that love and that grace, that is the standard we are to live by, the standard of love. And with God's help, we can press on toward that goal. We won't reach it as long as we're here on this earth in this life, but that's the goal. We'll need God's help to get there. We need to pray.